Jack's nuts roasting on an open fire.
Good tidings to you and your kin. This is part two of the Jack Tidball Tidbits Pod Christmas Bonanza. If you haven't heard part one, go back and listen to that. But yeah, this one's got a little story in it that's been highly anticipated. So let's get into it. Yeah, Merry Christmas. All right. I found a little... Someone's tried to make a little camp in the woods. But yeah, good thing for me is it's well out of the way, so I probably won't get any walkers going by. And yeah, we still get the rain / roaring fire ambiance. So yeah, that's nice. And yeah, God, I don't think anyone's going to walk by unless this is some kind of bear trap or something. But yeah, let's crack on, shall we? So this was my first blog, and it's called My First Christmas Away From Home and How It Was Ruined. So here we go. And so, as I lay there, it was safe to say that Christmas was ruined. But let's start at the beginning. It was mid-December, and I found myself in a hot little village just outside of Alexandria in Egypt. It dawned on me that Christmas was fast approaching, and I was yet to see anything remotely festive. Now, although I'm not a Christian, I thought letting Christmas pass by without some kind of involvement would be a real shame. So after an hour or so of research into the nearest place that would actually give a crap about Christmas and the cheapest way to get there out of northern Egypt, I managed to find a decent direct flight into Athens. Greece for Christmas it was then. I landed into Athens and head straight to Monastiraki, where I'd organised a pretty decent hostel as a gift to myself. Around the city, the vibe was just what I was craving. A chill in the air, markets, Christmas pop songs spilling out of every shop front, and more tacky souvenirs than you could shake a novelty candy cane at. I filled up on mulled wine and fruitcake and called it a day. I spent the next few days exploring as much as Athens as I possibly could. I love the balance of the old and the new. They've managed to build a modern metropolitan city on the foundation of beautiful ancient ruins without compromising either aspect. A few of the highlights for me were the Acropolis, the Temple of Zeus, the National Gallery, and the Panathenaic Stadium, where if you play your cards right, you can hold an Olympic torch. I loved it all. Christmas Day arrived. I'd been out in Ghazi Square for a massive Christmas Eve party, so getting up was a real struggle. I looked around my hostel room. The whole place was empty and everyone's bags had gone. Nice and quiet. Result. I forced down a bit of food, which pretty much consisted of the remains of a bag of oranges that I bought for a euro the day before, and immediately felt better. For dinner, I had arranged to visit a family at their home out nearer the coast. This isn't an odd thing to do. Loads of hostels put adverts up around Christmas time so that lone travellers don't end up missing out. The whole day was great. We had traditional food, played games. It was exactly what you'd want from a Christmas day. I left in the early evening feeling extremely happy and was already thinking about the new year and future plans. Still a little fragile from the night before, and with an extremely full stomach, I made my way up to my room to end the perfect day. The plan had come together. This is exactly what I'd wanted. The hostel room was still empty, all but for two suitcases propped up against the bunk bed across the room. So I made a call home and then contently drifted off to sleep. About midnight, I hear the familiar scraping of metal and the gentle thuds of a drunk person trying to manoeuvre a key in a lock. Oh, here we go, I thought. After about 30 seconds, I decided to get up and open the door from the inside. Open the door. All right, mate, how's it going? I said, before the door was fully open. The words fell flat, met with absolutely nothing. Stood in the doorway was the most cliched German couple that I have ever seen. They were probably mid-40s, overweight, the whole shebang. I knew immediately that it wasn't because of rudeness that they were blankly staring. I just hadn't been understood. They weren't drunk, but clearly were trying to use their tiny locker key to open the door. The silence still lingered for about 10 seconds as I turned and walked back towards my bed in the corner. I am here. I'm not going to do his accent. I am here. The guy, let's call him Fred, said. I looked over my shoulder and he was pointing at an empty bottom bunk. Wherever, man, these are all free. He made a nod, like gesture and slopped down onto the bunk. He then pointed at the bed above him and spoke in brief, efficient German to his wife. She, let's call her Wendy, strained with her shoes, and finally her mighty cankles burst out like water from a split paddling pool. She kicked the shoes aside and arched her head up to assess the peak that she was about to attempt to summit. The ladder took the force of her weight as she lurched up to the top bunk with surprising competence. Then, as if she had been shot with a tranquilizer, she slammed down onto the mattress and writhed around in her pillows and blankets for a moment. A few more straining metal sounds and the battle was over. She was down for the night. Quiet again. Perfect. I got up and flicked off the light. But it didn't make too much difference to the room because there was still a bright glare coming through the curtains from a street light just outside the window. I settled back into my nest, put my headphones in and started to watch It's a Wonderful Life on my computer. A screech from the semi-darkness over the sound of my film. I heard the stress of the bed across the room. Wendy was on the move. She heaved herself to the end of the bed, down the ladder, and to the floor with all the grace of a dazed hippo trapped inside a duvet cover. The bed sounded like it was about to break as she rolled onto the bunk below. For about a minute, there was a lot of commotion. She had woken Fred from his slumber, and he didn't sound best pleased. The creaks and grumbles became slower. And more rhythmic. Oh no, I thought to myself. They were. I closed the lid on my computer, grabbed my wash bag and towel, and shimmied out of the room. Yeah, I'll have a shower. Give them half hour. It's Christmas. Half hour went by. See, maybe give them another 10 minutes. Like, I don't want to walk in on them. After what was close to an hour, I slowly walked back in and was greeted by an image that I still can't fully erase from my brain. They were both naked in the middle of the room. Fred was behind Wendy doing his thing, while she was bent over, heavily clutching onto the lower frame of the empty bunk bed in front of them, together forming what looked like a lowercase H. Wendy looked up and somehow I was locked in a stare with both of them at the same time. I panicked. They didn't stop what they were doing. My entry to the room had just appeared to spur them on. In my shock, however, I didn't leave. Instead, I just sort of scooched round them and back into my bed, justifying the decision to myself, thinking, if I turn around and leave now, it would look weird. But the session continued until what must have been 3 a.m. or beyond. I was too scared to check the time. And so, as I lay there, it was safe to say that Christmas was ruined. there you go. Lovely story. And it was close to it, but not an ounce of chunder. yeah, tell you what, let's get moving again. Like, fucking hell, my back. Right, here we go. Out into the bright I was starting to look like Jack Nicholson at the end of The Shining there. Got a little windy chill up me crack. That was nice. God, you hear that? The woods are falling apart. Wow, I hope that was on camera. Microphone even. But yeah, anyway, that was just a lovely Christmas story for you about some glamorous Germans. I think it's dated a bit. Is it fat shaming to say they were overweight? I mean, maybe the cankles is a bit too far. And the bit about sort of cliche travelling German couples, I mean, that was totally wrong, wasn't it? Like, now, if I picture a German couple, I don't think of, like, chunky older travellers. I get the image of sort of young, sexy people, but it's funny how the tides have turned now that I'm the older and chunky one. I think that's probably a factor. But, yeah, anyway, I've had a few Christmases away since then, but I still think that year takes the biscuit, just because the day couldn't have gone better. Like, the day was amazing, but then the night was just so grim. But yeah, they were gone by the time I was up in the morning. And I remember, like, I got up on Boxing Day, like, going up to the roof of the hostel, and then I read the whole of a Bear Grylls book that I'd bought myself for Christmas. Like, Mud, Sweat and Tears, or True Grit. Whatever the one was that was out around then. But yeah, does that make the story more bleak? Yeah, I've had many a time of people shagging in hostels as well since, but I think their sort of confidence is what makes them so memorable. But yeah, I mean, I remember a few years after that, like after that Christmas, like when I actually posted the blog up, so I think it must have been about 3 years after. But yeah, first blog, finding my feet, optimistic times. Like, I'd set up the website, shared the link on Facebook, and a couple of people have actually read it as well, which I'd found amazing at the time. And then like, I got an email notification: your blog post has received a comment. Like, I was like, fucking hell, here we go. Like, could be Lonely Planet. Like, say, do you want to come write for us, or fucking Michael Palin? Oh, hey Jack, do you want to be pals? But none of that. Like, I clicked on the thing, and opened it up. Profile: Hermann Z. German. I'm like, what? What the fucking hell? What the hell is this? And then it's deleted now. But the profile picture, I think it was of a bratwurst or something, like just a close-up of a sausage. And the comment was something like, thanks for a great night. We were disappointed that you didn't join in. something like that. And for ages after as well, I was thinking, who the hell has done that? Like, and then, I can't remember the time frame for how long I was confused for, but turned out to be my mate's dad. Well, actually, not just any mate, like, it was friend of the show, JT's dad. Little Jimmy Thompson. Yeah, his dad. Like, the father of my child's dad. Old Mark Thompson. I mean, the real patriarch of the Thompson family. Again, not sure what patriarch means, but he made an entire WordPress account just for that comment. He's probably paying money as well. But so fucking good. But anyway, let's call this a day. Anyone listening to that last little bit that's not a regular listener must be just like, what the bloody hell is happening? But good, go back and listen. But this is a big lad. Bit of bird's eye potato waffle. Like, this is a long one, so I tell you what. Yeah, I think I'll chop this in half and then sort of put it out as two, a little two-parter for you. So just so you don't have to do it all in one sitting, I think that would be nice. So if you're listening to this now, that means that you've listened to both parts. What a legend you are. Or you've just listened to this half, fair play. You are also a tasty bastard, but yeah, go back, listen to the first. I think it'll make more sense then. But yeah, before you skedaddle on your way, have a read of the show notes, help a brother out at Christmas, and yeah, the inbox is drier than the Sahara, so pop me a message at tidbitspod@protonmail.com, just so we've got some stuff to talk about, keeping this thing trucking along. And yeah, Merry Christmas. I hope you've had a bloody lovely week or so. And I will catch you, like, maybe in the little window between Christmas and New Year. The festive gooch. The festive Mrs. Gooch. All right, see you later.
My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu's petals! Zuzu! There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!